Today's Shir's Masechta, Baba Kama, Daf Mem Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yomid. Says the Mishnah, Shor Shiyotze L'Sako. The animal is being taken out to be killed. And as the Muki Yosef and the Meiri point out, it doesn't mean that the animal is actually being taken out to be killed. The point of the Mishnah is that the animal was sentenced to be killed, Vigdisha Balav, and at that point its owner was Magdashit. The Loch is Aina Mugdash, the Hegdish is not a valid Hegdish. And as many Rishonim based on Rashi point out, our Mishnah is actually teaching us a very fundamental halacha. As we've learned in our Masechta, we will learn an animal that has been sentenced to death is obviously what the Mishnah is teaching us is that even though the animal is also bahano, it doesn't mean it's not the property of its owner. It could be also bahano and still be the property of its owner. Yet the Mishnah is teaching us that it's not, since it's being taken out to death, so it's no longer in a position that you could be magdashit. But it is not, it's still the owner's property. And moreover, shachtoi, if somebody were to shech that animal at that point, the basara also, we would not be allowed to eat the meat, as we learned previously in Daf Mem Aleph. However, the machlai nigma dinai, if prior to the sentencing, higdishai bala, the owner was magdish it, mugdish. It's going to be considered hegdish. From shachtoi, and if it was slaughtered, basara mutabachila, you may eat the meat. Rashi says, what is the nafkamina? Is that now would be subject to mila. And the Miri points out that even though it's mugdish, the halacha still is that you have to kill it and you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon. What you will have to do is redeem it, use the money for hegdish, and the animal will ultimately be killed. If the animal, we learned and will learn that the Torah speaks about four different types of shomrim. A shomrim is somebody who's watching somebody else's animal not for payment. A shoyel is somebody who borrows the animal. A nice socher is somebody who's getting paid to watch the animal. And a soicher is somebody who rented the animal. If any of these people were appointed to take care of this animal, teaches us the Mishnah, Nichnasu Tachas Habalim. They are now in the place of the owner of the animal. And therefore, if this animal is a muad and it does damage, then the shomer would have to pay Nezek Sholem. And if the animal that did the damage is a tam, then they would pay Chatzi Muad. The Achroinim discuss why does the Mishnah indicate these four shomrim in the order that they were mentioned. So Tosfos Yontif says that the shomer chinam and the shoyel have in common that there's no money involved. The shomer chinam is watching the animal for free, and the shoyel borrowed the animal without the person who lent him the animal expecting getting any remuneration. So because the shomer chinam and the shoyel have in common that there's no money involved in their position, and the soicher and the nice socher, as we explained, there are financial element, so therefore it is grouped that way. The Mukhe Yosef says that the halacha is that the basis of the halacha is that the owner, that the shomrim take the place of the owner, and that's as far as being chayiv for whatever the owner is chayiv. So the Birka Shmuel tries to understand how does the halacha view the position of the shomer. Is the shomer the sole operating individual now? That means as far as the halacha is concerned, there are no owners. There's a shomer. The shomer completely takes over the place of the owner, or does, and therefore if there will be a situation where the shomer that we just discussed would have did not do his job properly, and the animal did damage, that the Mishnah says the shomer has to pay. If the shomer doesn't have the ability to pay, is there recourse back to the owner, or do we say that the shomer completely takes over the position of the owner, and therefore the owner is no longer a party here? And if the shomer doesn't have the ability to pay, there's no recourse to the owner. Or does the halacha view, the owner, of course, is still the owner, but because the shomer took the responsibility of watching the animal, and part of that responsibility includes that if the animal does damage, he'll have to pay. So, but not that the owner is not in the picture. And the Birkas Shmuel says that, of course, the owner is not completely out of the picture. And in a case where the shomer can't pay, there is recourse to the owner. The Achronim also discuss what would be the halacha of a shomer if a tam was given over to a shomer and the animal did damage. Now, the halacha is that, as we learn often in our Masechta, that one of the most fundamental differences between a tam and a mu'ud is that the tam pays megufay from the actual animal, and the mu'ud pays me'aliyah. The person who owes the money, it's a debt that he owes. So now the question is, the shomer, as we just explained, maybe is now in the place of the owner, but he's not the owner. So how can we say that if this animal that did damage when it was under the jurisdiction of the shomer would have to pay if it's a tam, migufoy, the chiv gufoy, there is no chiv gufoy. So says the Eved Ezel, and says the Or Sameach, that in this case, we go after the animal, and now, even though we go after the animal, because that's what the Torah said, then the owner goes after the shomer for having to have lost the animal. The way I understand, what they're saying is that the halacha of a shomer cannot override the halacha of gufay. That's a fundamental halacha in tam. Just now, there's a new halacha, and that is that the animal, that there's recourse from the owner back to the shomer for what he lost the animal because the animal did damage. And I saw that this Reb Chaim Brisker explains this the way I understand Reb Chaim saying is as follows. When we speak often about this halacha that a tam pays megufoy, a mu'ud pays me'aliyah, explains Reb Chaim Brisker, it's not just a rule and how much you could collect, that by a tam there's a cap, that you can't collect more than the value of the animal, and by a mu'ud you have to pay for the entire damage, no matter from where you're going to have to collect it. He says it's a much more fundamental halacha. What the halacha is teaching us, he says, is that when a tam does damage, it's the one that owes the money, so to speak, is the animal itself. Since it's the animal itself that owes for the damages, so that's why we collect it from the animal itself, no matter where the animal is, whether the animal is in the possession of the owner or whether it's in the possession of the shomer, because it's not the person that's paying, it's the animal that's paying. And that's pshat, that is the pshat when we say that you collect migufoy. Now, when the shomer had to give up the gufoy to pay for the damage that the tam did, so there's a new halacha. And that's a halacha that we go at, that halacha teaches us that the shomer, because he was derelict in his responsibility, will have to pay back to the real owner for what happened. But the payment is always from the animal itself. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana Shor, Shehemus, an animal that killed somebody, actually Nigma Dinai, if before it was sentenced to be killed, Machroi, it was sold, Machor. The halacha is that it will be a valid sale. And Rashi and the Rashba say that this will be that even though the sale is valid, it doesn't change the halacha that this animal will ultimately, if it deserves, be sentenced and killed. The focus on the Gemara here is only if the sale is a valid sale. And the Gemara is saying the sale is a valid sale. V'mshachtoi basar mutter. But if it was slaughtered, the halacha is the meat will be allowed to be eaten. Hechzirus shoyim lebeis baalov. Now the Gemara introduces a very important concept. This animal killed somebody. The shoimer, while it was under the jurisdiction of a shoimer. Of course, what a shoimer has to do is give back what he was watching. So he gives it back. But he's giving back an animal that's ultimately going to be killed. The halacha is, Hechziroi shoimer lebeis baalov muchsor. Then the halacha is that's considered that he paid back what he was supposed to be back, pay back, and there's no claim against him. Mishenigma dinai, but once it was sentenced to death, at that point, machroi in a macher, the sale will not be a valid sale. Hegdishoi, and if somebody's going to be mafgarit, if somebody's going to be magdashit, it's no longer in a category that it can become hegdish. Shachtoi, and somebody shechs it before the Bezdin had the opportunity to kill it, Basara Asar. Hechzir Shamal Beis Baalov. And if at that point it's returned, Ena Mukhs, it's not considered that as if it was properly returned. Rav Yaakov Oyma Apmishnig Medinoi, even after it was sentenced to death, Hechzir Shamal Baalov, if the Shomer returns it, Mukhsar. And the concept behind this is Harei Shochol Fanecha. The halacha says that I am giving you back what's yours. I that's going to be killed, that is immaterial. The halacha is that I'm giving you back something that I'm supposed to give you back. I saw a very interesting shaila around this question about if I gave it back, but does it have value, or is the fact that I have the ability to give it back, is that good enough? The Shal Shachuvah, the Sefer Chashukei Chemed, discusses a scenario where somebody, there's a rule in a yeshiva that no one may bring a cell phone to the yeshiva. And somebody brought a cell phone to the yeshiva, and he then went and lent that cell phone to a friend. As it was lent to the friend, the administration, the mashgiach of the yeshiva, told this boy, caught the second boy, and confiscated the phone from him. The boy tells him, "This is not my phone; it's somebody else's phone." But I'm not going to tell you whose phone it is. At that point, the mashgiach of the yeshiva said that, well, if you're not going to tell me whose phone it is, I'm going to be holding on to the phone. Not a person who brought the phone to the yeshiva, and of course we're not in any way condoning what happened here, but the person who brought the phone to the yeshiva says to the person who lent the phone from him, "You lent the phone from me, you borrowed the phone from me, I want my phone back." And he says to him, "Harei shalchol afanacha," the concept that we just discussed, "Go to the mashgiach, tell him that this is your phone, and that's good, and he'll give, and you'll get back your phone." He says, "I don't want to go and expose that I was the one that wasn't supposed to bring the phone to the yeshiva and didn't." What is the halacha? So the Nesivus says that in all cases where something was stolen, the halacha is that we could say Harei shalchol afanecha. In other words, what the Sivis's approach from our Gemara is that the concept of Harei shalchol afanecha is a very strong concept. Because just like in our Gemara, the Gemara is clearly indicating that you could give back the animal, even though that you know that this animal you're giving back is ultimately going to be killed. So what are you accomplishing by giving back the animal? The halacha doesn't care. I, as a shomer, my responsibility is to give back the animal. So as long as I do that, I am fine. So we see a very strong concept of Arei Shelchol Lefanecha. And the same here, even though the person who's going to have to approach the Mashgiach certainly doesn't want to approach the Mashgiach to tell him that this is my phone, but since he potentially can go to him, it's enough that we should say Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. There are other Achronim that don't agree, that they say that even though our Gemara teaches us the halacha of Harei Shelchol Lefanecha, and even though what I'm giving back to you is what you gave me was something valuable. You gave me an animal, which is, of course, a valuable asset. And I'm returning to you an animal that is not in any way valuable because it's going to be killed. It doesn't change that I gave something back to you. However, in a situation that I didn't give back anything to you, I'm just telling you where you could pick it up, that isn't considered Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. I'm not giving you back anything. The Cheshuke Chemed says there's another element that we have to put into this conversation. And that is, in our Gemara, the animal is here, and I'm giving it back a Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. In this case, it's even more so. The Mashgiach is prepared to give back to this person the telephone, and he won't have any loss. In our Gemara, the person who's getting back the animal and just getting it back but will not really have any use from the animal that he's getting back because it's going to be taken out to be killed. So then the halacha is that we still say Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. In our Gemara, the person's going to get back the phone and be able to use it. All that's required is that he should come forth and admit that this phone is his. So it becomes much more of a simple situation that he should just come forth. And if the person says, just go to the Mashgiach and admit what's going on, that should be sufficient. Says the Gemara, Lema. So now, as we just discussed, the concept of Harei Shelchol Lefanecha, it seems that there's a machloikus, Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov, we say Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. The Rabbanan Savri, Ein Oimrim, something which is worthless that we can't say Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. And that's why the Rabbanan said that if you return the animal after we're sentenced to death, we cannot say Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. And Rabbi Yaakov Savar, or Rabbi Yaakov's opinion is that even under those circumstances, Oimrim Bisurayno, even by Surayno, we could say Harei Shelchol Lefanecha. Says the Gemara, Amarava, no. Everybody will agree, the Kulama, both Rabbanan and Rav Yaakov agree to the concept of Harei Shelchol, Besura Noah, Harei Shelchol Lefanecha, that I'm giving you back, what was yours. And again, the Mefarshim point out, Rabbi Chanan point out that why? Because even though this object is also Bahanah, that doesn't mean it can't be owned, as we said at the beginning of our shir. And therefore, since it could have ownership, giving it back is considered giving back to the owner. Then came, if that weren't the case, so then we should have another place where we should have a machloikus of Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov. Linya chametz b'Pesach. That means if somebody stole chametz before Pesach, and we know if somebody steals, the Torah Kedoshah says, v'heshev es egzela, you have to return what you stole. We also know that chametz shavel over Pesach, chametz which was under the Jew, ownership of a Jew over Pesach, is also b'hanor. So what would be the halacha if after Pesach somebody returns that chametz to the owner? Has he fulfilled the halacha of ha'ishev as a gzela? And the Gemara says, we're going to learn later in our Masechta, on daf tzadik ches on the base, Gozel chametz oval of a Pesach. Somebody stole chametz of Pesach past. The halacha is after Pesach. Harei shelcha lefanecha. You can give it back as it is. So we see from here that we apply the concept of harei shelcha lefanecha even by something that is worthless. Says the Gemara, Elohacha, says the Gemara, the machlokes of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov is not around the concept of harei shelcha lefanecha. For everyone subscribes to that concept. Here the machlokes is a different question altogether. The Gaim Medina shall shah shlab fun of Kamifki. We know that we've spoken about this, that if somebody does something, we don't sentence him only in the presence of the perpetrator. What would the halacha be if a shor killed somebody? And the halacha is if a shor killed somebody, he's chayiv skila. The question is, could that sentence be issued without the animal being present? That the animal has to be present. And therefore, Omalei, the owner of this animal could say to the Shomer, had you returned the animal to me, I would have taken the animal to a place where it can't be found. And therefore, there can never be a Gemar Din, because we just learned they are of the opinion that you can't sentence the animal unless the animal is present. And now by you, Hashta, at Fistel Terab Yodadloy Chinlish, to do it every day. But if you gave the animal to the Bezdin, you caused me an irretrievable loss. So, of course, many asked the question, starting what Tais was discussed earlier in Amasechta. So, because this Shimer did the wrong thing, and he did the right thing, and he took the animal that's a mazik and brought it to Bezdin, that's why we have a claim against him. So the Be'er Yitzchak in Yerideh Simen Chaf Dalet says a very big chiddush. He says, yes, there's a rule of if there's an animal that causes damage, it must be eliminated. That everybody has the obligation to do, including obviously the owner. But there is no obligation to bring it to Beis Din. And since there is no obligation to bring it to Beis Din, he could say to him that why did you bring this animal to Beis Din? You did not have to do so. We have to make sure that the animal shouldn't do damage, but you have no obligation to bring the animal to the Beis Din. Rav Yaakov Sover, Rav Yaakov's opinion is, says the Gemara, Goyim Medina Shashar, Shalai Mefonav. Bringing it to Beis Din doesn't make a difference. Domalei, Soif Soif Meav Migmig Leidina, even if the animal were not present, they would have taken it to Beis, it would have gone, Beis Din could have issued the psak, and therefore, by me giving it to the Beis Din, I didn't cause you any loss, and since I didn't cause you any loss, I could just give it back to you with a claim of saying, Harei Shelcha Lefanecha. Says the Gemara, my tam the Rabbanan. So Rabbanan, as we just learned, their opinion is that Ein Goyim Medina Shelshar El Befanav. We only could issue the psak in the presence of the shar. Where do they take that from? Because the pasuk says, Hashar Yusaka V'gam Ba'ol of Yumas. Kedimis Balim Kach Mis Shar. What has to be done where it's the owner, here too has to be done with the shor. And the halacha is, ma balim, there is no dispute, ma balim b'fneim, because the Torah says, v'lo yomus ha-ritzeich ad omdoi l'fneia eidu l'mishpat, he has to be standing there, af shor, so too, Beis Din will not sentence the animal only before him. Rav Yaakov's opinion is, bishlam balim, it's understood what the owners, where the people have to be present because b'nei tananinu. We have to give them an opportunity to defend themselves. El Shor, but when we speak about an animal, does he have batanisahu? Does he have the ability to defend himself? And since he doesn't have the ability to defend himself, so therefore there is no need for him to be present at the sentencing. So we learned in the Mishnah, as we've been discussing, there are four types of shomrim. Hargu, if the animals that killed were tamim, naragim, their animal is killed, min ha-kaifer. There's no obligation of kaifer by a tam. Moadin, if the animal that killed the person were a mu'ud, was a mu'ud, narogim, u'mishalm kaifer. Chayovin, lachs d'meshal l'balov, and the halacha will be that they have to return to the owner the value of the animal, chutz mishay mechinim. But the Gemara says, the shay mechinim will not have to return the value of the animal. So ask the Gemara, what are the circumstances that would say that the shay mechinim wouldn't have to? What's the why to this? Amri, so says the Gemara, hechi dami, exactly what is the case? He did not ray, if the shomer did the job properly, so then none of the shomer should be held responsible. So afilu kula nami liftru, any shomer who did his job properly should not be responsible. Vidalai not ray, and if he did not protect guard the animal properly, then ask the Gemara afilu shon chinam nachayiv, he should be held responsible. Answers the Gemara amri hakul ma'askin the not ray, he protected it. Shmir p'chusa. He only, for example, closed the door in a ruach that could stand in a ruach mitzuya, in a irregular situation. However, v'loy natri shemir m'ula. Shay mechinim, at a shay mechinim, that is all he's responsible to do. Kos lo shmira. His obligation ends at that moment. Hanach, but all the, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. Hanach, the other shemirim, have a higher level of shmira, like kolsa shmirasan, and that's what to be held responsible. So I saw that Rashi and Tosfos both point out that even though the shomer did his job properly, if the animal was a mu'ud, the owner would have to pay kaifer. And the explanation is that the payment of damages, as we often discuss in our shiurim, and the payment of kaifer are very different obligations. Payment of damages is a payment that if somebody caused somebody else damage, he has to pay for the damage that he caused. Kaifer is as the name implies. That means that it's a kapara. And if the animal that is owned by somebody killed somebody, so therefore the halach is that there's a chiyuv kapara. The person whose animal killed has an obligation to have a kapara because something that he owned did so. And therefore, even if there'll be a situation where you can't collect for the shomrim damages, the halacha will still be that you'll have to pay. The halacha will still be that you have to pay kaifer. Says the Gemara. Amri, says the Gemara, Kaman. This that we just learned, whose opinion that does it follow? Because as we've discussed, and the sug is actually an Amud Beis of our daf today, we have a machloikas tanoim about what type of shmira is required. So if it's following the opinion of Rameya that holds that a mu'ud always requires a shmira mu'ula, a very high level shmira, daimer, Rameya's opinion is, soich k'shemichinim dami, that the soich and the shemichinim have the same level of shmira. And they have, for them, shmira b'chusa is adequate. So listening, so if that's the case, listening, m'shachutz m'shemichinim v'soicher, a soich and shemichinim should be grouped together. Via Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machloikis in Baba Metzia, a very famous machloikis. The Torah is very clear in describing the levels of obligation of a shemichinim and of a shemisacher and of a shoyel. The soicher, the renter, it's not clear what is his status. Ramei's opinion is that his status is like a shemichinim. Rabbi Huda's opinion is that his status is like a shemisacher. So if we're following the opinion of Ramei, so why are we segregating, just singling out just the shemichinim? We should also put the soicher together with the Shay Mechinim. If, on the other hand, we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the Soich and the Shay Mechinim are the same, so Nisni, the Brisha, should have said, Chutz Meshay Mechinim, V'kulam B'mo'adim, P'turin L'nyakayfer. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a Shemira pechusa is adequate. So if a shmira pechusa is adequate, why by any of them would they be chayiv if a shmir pechusa was done? Answers the Gemara. Amar Huna bar Chinoy, Hamani. This price is following the opinion of Belezi. Dama ein loy shmira elasakin. The only way to protect from a mu'ud is by killing it. Elinyan soicher. So therefore, the shomrim achayiv, even if they did a shmir pechusa. Elinyan soicher. As far as a soicher is concerned, savol krab Yehuda dama soicher kenais to soicher dami. Abayam alon krameya. We could explain that it's following the opinion of Rameya. And therefore, a shmir pechusa is inadequate. But the question is, according to Rameya, a soicher has the same halacha as a shomer chinam, and that even though Rameya requires a mu'ud to have a shmir me'ula, that's only by a shomer socher, but not by a shomer chinam. So why doesn't he say that the shomer chinam, that the shmir pechusa is adequate, and so too should be the halacha by a soicher? Says the Gemara, because kamach v'rabba v'avu v'tani, soicher ked m'shalem, Rameya m'kishem m'socher, Yehuda m'kishem m'chinam. According to this version, it's Rameya who holds that a soicher is like a kishem m'socher, and it's Yehuda that holds a soicher is like a kishem m'chinam. So now everything comes together. Rameya is going to say that if we're dealing with a mu'ud, the only one, if we're dealing with a mu'ud, could get away with a shmir b'kusa, is a shomer chinam. I will ask, shouldn't the soicher have the same halacha? The answer to that will be that no. We're following now the opinion of the other version of the machlokes Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda. And according to that version, Rameya actually holds that a soicher is not like a shomer chinam. If a soicher is not like a shomer chinam, so only the shomer chinam could get away with a shmir pechusa, no one else. So we learned Amar Belaza Masla Shari L'Shomer Chinam. If somebody gave his Adam to Shomer Chinam, Hizik, and it did damage, Chayiv. The Shomer will be Chayiv. Huzak, but if the animal got hurt, Potter. Amri, so the Gemara tries to discover exactly what happened over here. Either Kabbalah Shmiras Nazakov, if the Shomer took upon himself the responsibility for this animal, so then the halacha should be, I feel a huzak, that if the animal got hurt, nami l'chayiv, he should be held responsible. V'deloy kibolov shmiras nezakov, if he didn't take upon himself that responsibility, so then the halacha should be, I feel a hizak nami lifter. Even if it did damage, he should be potter. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav lo'olam shekibolov shmiras nezakov. The shomer took on responsibility. But hachamai skinen, shekibay shunachan. He knows, the shomer knew that this animal has the tendency to do damage. The stomach, the milsa, as therefore, the loy ozel iu mazik achrin and kibbalay, knowing that this animal has this tendency, so he took upon himself that he's going to watch this animal from doing damage. Because that's something which he thought is likely to happen, knowing that this animal has such a tendency. But the osach green of masculine day, that this animal should be the victim, he knows that this animal never is a victim. This animal is always an aggressive animal, the aggressor. Loyasakadate, he didn't think that this is what's going to happen. So we assume that he never took upon himself this level of shmira, and therefore, if it gets damaged, if it gets hurt, he will not be held responsible. Says the Mishnah Kosher Baal B'Maseira. The Torah speaks about the Shor and the Tamud that did damage. And we now begin the discussion that we've alluded to many times in our Shiurim. What type of Shmira is one obligated to do for his animal? Says the Mishnah Kosher Baal B'Maseira. If somebody tied the animal with a rope made out of grass, V'Nol B'Fon of Karoi, and closed the door properly, and a yotz of a hizik, and then the animal went into damage, echad tam ve'echad mu'ud, chayiv, the halacha will be that he the person will be held responsible. Because this is only Shmir P'chus Adivar Ameya. Rabbi Yehuda Matam Chayiv. By Tam, you are Chayiv for Shmir B'chusa, or Mu'at Potter. Shenemar, because the Torah says, V'lo Yishran Abalov Shalom Yishalim. The owner is responsible because he didn't watch it properly. V'shamuza, and this animal is properly watched. Shmir B'chusa is adequate. So of course, if at first glance, this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is very, very difficult to understand. An animal which is a mu'at, which has done and damage, a shmir b'chus is enough, and for a tam, it's not enough. So the Miri explains, and many say this pshat, that the halach is that an animal that's a mu'at, everybody is aware that this animal is a mu'at. Since everyone is aware that this animal is a mu'ud, people stay away from this animal. And therefore, there, a shmir p'chusa is enough. When an animal, however, is a tam, people don't know to stay away from it. And since people don't know to stay away from it, therefore the halacha will be that a shmir p'chusa is required. So the Sefer Taras Chaim asks a question. We've learned earlier in our Masechta an expression, Yitziva ba'ara v'gura b'shmei shemayim. Does it make any sense to treat the citizen, to treat the ger better than the citizen? But isn't that what's happening here? That we're treating the tam more strictly than we're treating the mu'ud. How does that make any sense? So he answers that what pshat in our Gemara is, that the Gemara is teaching us Gzeiros HaKosef. The Gemara is teaching us Psukim. When the Torah is teaching us Psukim, there's no room for questions. That's what the Torah said, that by a tam, a shmir mu'ul is required, and by a mu'ul, a shmir p'chus is adequate. Rabbi Elazar Omer, shmir el-sakin, the only way to properly watch the animal, the only way to watch the animal is by killing it. Says the Gemara, in analyzing these various opinions. My tam d'rameya, what's the reason for the Rameya? So says the Gemara Ksover. Rameya's opinion is Stam Shvarim Labeches Kashimu Kaim, that animals cannot be properly watched. Vamer Achmona, and therefore the Torah Kedusha says Tam Nechayev, that Tam will be Chayev. The Neboile Shmir Pechusa, that it should have a Shmir Pechusa. Hodam Rachmona, then the Torah says V'lo Yishmir Anu Bayamud. The Neboile Shmir Ula, that again, if tam requires shmir p'chusa, a mu'ud, says Rameya, certainly requires shmir p'chusa. And then, ya'alef negich tam negich l'mu'ud, that once the Torah has taught us that a mu'ud, says Rameya, requires a shmir m'ula, this gzeirah shavar will tell us that so too is the halacha by the tam. Rabbi Yehuda savar, however, the stam shvarim b'cheska shima kaimi. Vam rachmana, when the Torah said that if a tam does damage, the shalom it's obligated to pay. What is the Torah teaching us with that halacha? Then the boy lay shmira mu'ula. Hodam rachmana, and then the Torah said, by v'lo yishmirana, by a mu'ud. The avalei shmira mu'ula. But we already learned by the tam that a shmira mu'ula is required. Why was it necessary to tell us this by the mu'ud again? It says the Gemara, this falls into the category of have a ribuy achar ribuy, a double ribuy, and the halach is ein ribuy achar ribuy elamat. When you have a double ribuy, we use the second ribuy to be memat. The pasha pshat is because why would the Torah need to say it twice if the Torah said this already? Taisus Yontif says the way to understand a ribuy achar ribuy is like one of the lamudim that's often mentioned in Shas, klal uprat, that the prat comes to limit, and that the prat over here is coming to say that for a tam a shmir p'chusa is adequate. Miyat akosel shmir mu'ula, the Torah is telling us that a mu'ud doesn't need to have a shmir mu'ula. V'chitema, why don't we learn the gzeir shava? Negicha latam, negicha lamu'ud. that Gzeir Shava should say that if a tam requires a shmir me'ula, so too should be daloch by mood. And says the Gemara, because the Torah says, Hamid Rachman v'lo yishmirano, lezeh, the Torah is teaching us that only by a mood is a shmir b'chusa adequate, v'lo yilach and not by a tam. V'am b'ay le'laf, to ask the Gemara, why do we need this to teach us that there's a lav if you didn't watch the animal properly, not to teach us the ribuy achar ribuy. Answers the Gemara, im kain, nechta rachman v'lo yishmar. If that's all the Torah was trying to accomplish, it would be enough to say v'lo yishmar. My v'lo yishmar. And to teach us lezeh, by mu'ud, there's a locha of shmir b'chusa being enough v'lo lachar, not by a tam. Our Gemara just taught us the rule of Ein Ribuy Achar Ribuy El Lamad. So I've quoted in our Shurim the Sefer Divrei Yisrael from the Majid Tzareba. The one of the Sfarim that he wrote is a Sefer called Kloli Araisa, which takes different expressions that we have in Shas and teaches and explains them in Drosh, a Pidrosh. Ein ribuy ach ribuy el lamat. Somebody who holds himself great, ribuy ach ribuy, he keeps on considering himself that he's great, el lamat. Such a person is really small. Vein miyut ach miyut, but somebody who keeps on belittling himself, acting in a humble and modest fashion, el larabbis. And then he says another pshat. Says, what's very required for success in learning is to constantly review our learning. People, he say, have the tendency to like to enjoy learning new things. But to review and review what has already been learned, that is not so popular. So he says what it's meant to say here is Ein ribuy achar ribuy. If somebody continuously learns new things and doesn't review what he learned, elamat, really what's going to happen is he's going to forget the learning that he's already learned. Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Echod tam ve'echod mu'ud, she'shamer shmir b'chusa, v'shmir b'chusa was done potter. My tama, savalek Rabbi Yehuda da'amar, Mu'ud Shmir B'chusas Agalei. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that said that Rabbi Mu'ud Shmir B'chusas is adequate. And then Yalef, Tam V'negich Mu'ud, Agzer Shava, that if by a Mu'ud Shmir B'chusas is adequate, so too by a Tam. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Adabar Hava, Loi Potter Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda was lenient, Ela Tzad Hador Shaba, Ava Tzad Tamus, V'mekai Me'medes. So now the Gemara says a very big chiddush. And the Gemara says that a shmira, that how do we look at a mu'ud? So we don't look at a mu'ud, says the Gemara, that there's a tam with the halachas of a tam, and there's a mu'ud with the halachas of a mu'ud, but rather, says the Gemara, a mu'ud is a tam plus. So whatever halacha there is on the tam will remain even after the animal becomes a mu'ud. The only difference will be on the extra 50% that is there because it's a mu'ud. But the original 50% of tam, that tzad tamus b'mekai me'amedes. And for that part, Rabbi Yehuda says that a mu'ud, a shmir b'chus is enough. That will only be on the second 50%. But on the first 50%, there the halacha will be that shmir mu'ul that he says is required, that shmira mula that he says is required will very much stay in place.